and welcome to another edition of Kaleidoscope. This is Magda Zenon, reporting from downtown Nicosia. And with me in my studio, I have Chris Mavro and Orestes Matsas. Welcome, Chris and Orestes.
Thank you.
Hello, Magda. Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you with, and the subject we're discussing is very popular at the time because it's not a separate subject. It's actually a global subject. So it's discussing what is the far right and what does it look like and how does it operate? But I would like you both to introduce yourselves individually so that listeners know who is speaking. Chris?
So I'm Chris. I consider myself to be a civil society actor, working on human rights, gender equality, and of course, accountability, something that is missing from the Cypriot context. I'm experienced with watchdog mechanisms, advocacy, and policy making. My focus is on how law and administrative decisions affect real people, especially those already marginalized. Asylum seekers, women, people with disabilities, teenagers with antisocial behavior, and so on. And my main aim is to work at the point where policy meets lived experience, and that's where democratic backsliding becomes visible at first.
Oresti?
Yes. I'm Orestes Matsas. My undergraduate studies is at the School of Mechanical Engineering of National Technical University of Athens. I'm currently pursuing my PhD at the University of Cyprus in the Department of Environmental Engineering, focusing on the energy transition of Cyprus. Now I'm working as a researcher. Specialist at the Environmental Fluid Mechanics Laboratory of the University of Cyprus. I host two radio programs on Astra and a podcast on Growth Hacking Channel. I'm also a member of the coordination of the committee of the Coalition Against Far-Right Fascism and Racism. And also I'm in the coordination group of Far-Right Watch Cyprus, and I'm, let's say, environmentally, socially, and politically active at various levels. Yeah, that's all for me.
The thing that joins you both is that you're both members of Far-Right Watch Cyprus, and I'm really interested to hear about what it means, what the far-right means. What do we mean when we say far right?
So it's actually a very nice question, because nowadays I don't think that people are actually aware of what far right policies are and how they actually affect us in everyday life. So when we have the question of what we mean by far right, far-right policies today often operate through legislations, administrative practices, institutional practices, even workers' rights. We've seen the farmers out in the streets. And of course, the media manufacturing public opinion. So in regards to far-right, I'll put it in a way that the far-right doesn't always arrive in a form of violence and shouting and whatsoever. In Cyprus, it arrives in parliamentary committees drafting legislations. So the Cypriot context.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. So that's often arrives in Cyprus in a format that we, the public, do not know. Or do not know about necessarily.
Yes. And most of the times it's framed as public order or security or adaptation to EU treaties, which are all at least discussable. So we also need to look at the timing. So when we talk about the legislation for protests that was in discussion and it passed through the parliament through a voting, and even with the amendment, it doesn't serve the purpose. So when we need to look at the timing. When the momentum was building for the genocide taking place a few kilometers away from Cyprus in Palestine, and as the migration tactics of the police caused at least two murders, I want to remind everyone of Anisur, the guy who was so scared, he was frightened, that he actually jumped from I think it was a four building, he jumped from there, and also the guy who got killed in the buffer zone from a shooting. So the police was out in the streets against activists who were asking how these two people were killed. So you can see how it affects everyday life. Especially as I said in the beginning, of marginalized groups.
Orestes, is there anything you would like to add to what you think? What does it mean by being far right? Because I think you are in different sectors. Tell me.
When we talk about the far right today, we are not talking about something marginal or extreme. In the sense of being outside society, we're talking about ideas and practices that are slowly becoming normalized in politics, in media, and in everyday life. And Cyprus is not an exception because it's a global, a worldwide phenomenon. What we see here reflects broader global trends. The rise of nationalism, the rise of racism, of authoritarian politics, and fear-based narratives. This is where far right is based, in insecure and in the fear of people. These ideas don't always come with authoritarian practices, but they are coming through, as Chris said, through legislation as well, through law and order, through migration policies, through attacks on culture, as we saw a few days ago, the targeting of the artist Yorgos Gavril, through the education we saw. Couple of times last few months, neo-Nazis symbols in the schools, and through the freedom of expression, as Chris already said, about the legislation of demonstration. So for me, the key question is not only what is far right and who votes for the far right, but how much of the far right agenda has already been adopted by mainstream politics.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like
Maybe you could answer that question, Chris.
to
How far is
I'd like to highlight on what Orestes has said, and it's exactly that. Far right policies and talking points were once considered extreme, like strict anti-immigration, nationalism, religion, whatever you can name it. But they are becoming increasingly mainstream in Europe, especially influencing center-right parties, and I think that's mostly seen in Cyprus. Like we've got the center, which is actually adopting the far-right positions as if it's their own.
And can I add something and add another perspective on the rise of far right? There is also a clear dimension, a class dimension to the issue. Society is increasingly convinced that its problems are caused by poor immigrants, but not by the economic elites who are rapidly accumulating wealth. Anger that should be directed upward is redirected downward. Migrants are blamed for low wages, housing shortages, and pressure on public services, while those who benefit from the privatization, deregulation, and speculation remain invisible. This narrative protects power by turning social frustration into racism and class inequality into cultural conflict.
Isn't that exactly what Donald Trump is doing? I mean, he's actually disseminating, he is controlling the wealth, he's buying everything up, and yet he's demonizing the immigrants, the undocumented people, the poor people, and the middle class. Everyone is eating it up, and I cannot understand why. I cannot understand why people are actually believing that someone who's accumulating all this wealth is for my benefit, and the person in the street is my enemy. I don't know how people buy it. Can you explain it to me?
You have a great point there, and I'd like also to point out that I call this the notion of Trumpism, and that he managed to have a negative. When you hear the word woke, it leaves you with a negative feeling, and it's because of how he controls media. Like, he makes all media seem as they are all fake, they are all talking
They're
bullshit.
lying.
Yeah. And only he knows the truth. He doesn't even tweet it anymore. He does it by his own social media. He owns his own social media.
Yeah.
And
And Farai, what always do is to offer simple answers to complex issues and problems. Instead of explain to the society why we have immigrants and refugees, they prefer to target those people who usually don't have the voice to explain. For the crisis that they live. I mean, housing crisis, economic crisis, low, wasn't the Hamilton is for the mom?
Low income.
Low income issues. For all these problems, the mainstream political system choose to blame people that can't defend themselves, to redirect
The attention to no problem, to
attention.
direct the attention.
The attention of people to those instead of those getting richer and richer from this situation.
I actually want to add to that, since I didn't say what my degrees were in the beginning, and Orestes did. I apologize for that. So I studied law, and my master's was in comparative, was in international and comparative law. So I always have this thing of making comparisons, and I'd like to set the context of what is happening today in Cyprus by looking back at Thatcher's policies in the UK. Thatcher famously spoke about the enemy inside, and she was talking about workers' unions and activists. Organized workers were no longer seen as social partners, but as a threat to economic stability and national interest. Once you accept this logic, far-right policies become the so-called centers of policies. And this does not happen in a day. It progresses. So after 2013 and up to today in Cyprus, a very similar approach can be seen, especially under the frame of economic stability and national interest. Austerity, as Orestes brilliantly said it before, wasn't just about numbers, it functioned as a form of discipline. And as we've seen this across many sectors in Cyprus, like the nurses, I don't know if you remember some famous quotes of a politician that you little nurses, if you do not agree, I will bring from another country.
I remember that.
Yeah, yes. And also for midwives and raising concerns for understaffing, underpay, safety, hospitality workers. Who are always in the streets demanding for more, and they are dealing with extreme precarity. And farmers mobilizing around survival incomes. The pattern is consistent. Instead of genuine negotiation, the state focuses on monitoring, managing, or containing union action. And that brings me to what Orestes said before. At the same time that this is happening in Cyprus, so 2013 and onwards, capital in Cyprus has been treated very differently. Through the scheme of the Golden Passport, Cyprus facilitated large inflows of foreign money with criminal and minimal oversight, fueling real estate speculation, pushing rents to unaffordable levels and dramatically increase of the cost of living. And instead of the media directing their focus to the millions of euros that passed from Cyprus and the millions of euros spent in the so-called defensive schemes, they normalize far-right politicians by inviting them to gossiping panels, or allowing them to visit schools and give presents only to Greek-speaking students. And against this backdrop, the media is celebrating as if the increase of the minimum wage by around 50 euros net per month is presented as a progress. But
I
when
wanted to throw up when I saw that. I wanted to gag.
Yes, and when you have the skyrocket expenses, as Orestes said, with rents, food, and energy, basic needs that have skyrocketed, this isn't a meaningful response. This is symbolic, the 50 euros. So that's where the Thatcher parallel becomes clear. Weakening unions, individualizing economic hardship, and normalizing inequalities while calling it realism, economic stability, and national protection, while siding up with criminals who are committing a genocide. And this is not Thatcher nostalgia, do not get me wrong. This is Thatcherism as a governance logic.
I'm one of the victims of this because I was a single parent. Okay, I was, which meant I lived in a country with no structure to support my single parenting, which meant I worked less hours, which means my input into my social security was lower, and because I was working fewer hours, and because I was a woman, which means I come out on the other end as a single. As a pensioner at a dismal pension scheme, and I'm told to suck it up because I have my own apartment that I actually inherited. And then, as you said, on the one side, I do consider myself grateful because I do have a home. But then the little pension that I get, which is 590 euros a month, before electricity, water, telephone, I need to eat. I need petrol for my car.
Yes, and they bring the blame to migrants
Exactly.
as if they are the ones who have failed to provide us with proper electricity.
They've taken them. They've taken. They are the ones that are taking away from me. Oresti, I see you want to say something.
Yeah, of course,
But
it's his thing, the environmental part, Orestes. Couldn't we have energy for free? And please.
exactly. Basic energy for free.
Of course we could, but the priorities of the state and the last governments are different. We also have a recent research which says that Cyprus is number one country in the world, in the increasing of the percentage of the concentration of wealth to the richest 1% of the population. The richest one.
I think you need to repeat that.
Okay, the richest one of the population percentage of the richest 1% of the population of Cyprus now owes the 33% of the wealth of the country, and the richest 10% of the population owes the 66% of the wealth of Cyprus, and we are the number one. I'm sorry, my cats. And we are the first country in the world of the increasing of this transfer of wealth to the richest 1% of the population.
So in reality, our cash isn't flowing.
It stopped
Yes.
flowing when it reached the rich guy. It stopped at the rich guy's door.
Exactly. Exactly. And
But Oresti,
I
I'd also like you to speak about, I mean, this thing about not having an environmental energy policy is a very serious issue because it's not only cost effective, it's environmentally effective. It's
no.
effective. There's no reason to have otherwise than an environmentally friendly energy, and we have so many options. Why is it
Yeah.
so difficult to pass it through, besides the fact that no one's going to make money?
15 years ago, the governments, not only one government, but two or three governments in a row, connected the gas.
The gas.
Yeah, they connected the gas with the Cyprus problem, and they said that we could getting advantage of drilling of gas to find the solution to Cyprus problem. Maybe 15 years ago was that was an option, but now in 2025, drilling in terms of climate crisis is not an option. And that's why now, because of the European law, we are paying the right of emissions, which cost to Cyprus 400 million euros per year.
And
And
to
instead,
qualify that to the Cyprus consumer, not to the Cyprus government, it's the consumer that pays that 400 million.
yes, exactly. And instead of moving forward to clean, renewable form of energy, we stuck on the scenario of drilling the gas, and this creates an external influence to other countries or to big companies as Israel or petroleum companies are. So it's a lack of, I don't know.
A lack of foresight, a lack of vision.
Yes, a lack of vision, exactly.
To be honest, I don't think that we will ever be take, we will not ever be in advantage of our exclusive economic zone. Our exclusive economic zone belongs to Israel and largely to Greece. I mean, even this is not about energy, this is about telecommunications and then GSI. We are paying more than the Greeks. I don't understand that. And we will be paying more than the Greeks for a long period of time. And this is a deal that that this government came into agreement with.
The one
We have already
recently.
sold, actually. We have already sold our the rights of our economic zone to big companies,
Exactly.
and the income of the state in the case, in the scenario that they will find and drill out something of the gas of Cyprus, the income will be really, really low. In comparison of what those companies will take. So it's a catastrophic
Agreement for
choice to do,
everyone. I consider it to be a dead end. And But it's
since,
a dead end that's costing us money.
yes, it's a dead end in like you're throwing money in a hole and nothing will happen. You will never benefit from that. So, and if you think about all of these, I mean, the golden passports, the energy, what we're paying, the rents. The real estate business that it's only to foreigners at this time. The media is allowing far right to have administrative violence through their policies to migrants. And what do I mean by that? There are huge delays when you're an asylum seeker. When you're an asylum seeker, you're not able to work for 9 months. And this creates more trafficking, either sex trafficking or work trafficking. Even it ends up in violence, like they ask for, you know, what the salary that they have agreed to, and because they don't have the ability to work, this permission for the 9 months, they beat them up. We've had several incidents of this. And we have pushbacks. We have examples of stranded asylum seekers in the buffer zone, even in the so-called sovereign English bases. And there is a legal, social, financial uncertainty to these people. And we are targeting the most vulnerable. I mean, media, far-right politics.
We're targeting them because they can't fight back.
Exactly.
And the worst is that this rhetoric and this situation normalized in government level. I mean, they're promote that they have decreased the flows of refugees and immigrants, while they're don't saying that they're doing pushbacks in the sea. We have not because of Cyprus, but in general, since 2015, we have 30,000 deaths in Mediterranean Sea, cost of this legislation of European Union in general. They trapped people, as Chris said, they trapped people in the green zone asylum seekers that wants to ask for asylum in our country, they ignore the Refugees Agreement of the United Nations of 1951.
Can I interrupt you? They arrest you, and they also have conveniently forgotten our country that 50 years ago we cried about being internally displaced and victims and whatever. Yet we only recognize that status in ourselves, and we have no compassion for people that are in the same position and worse.
Yes, I think
Exactly.
it's because asylum and migration procedures have shifted from protection to deterrence, which prevents claims of protection. Through far-right policies, dehumanization is framed as efficiency or as crisis management. As Orestes said before, the Deputy Ministry of Migration and International Protection has been bragging about policies that the far right has been proposing. And in addition, the decision of taking unaccompanied children under the deputy ministry instead of the social welfare services who were responsible up to now.
Why was that
And
decision made?
because unaccompanied children are not framed as someone who needs welfare and protection, and they are just immigrants. So it's under the deputy.
That's a
And
definitely a WTF moment. What the fuck? I mean, children need more
yes,
protection than the rest.
you know what's more dangerous and inconsiderate for me, that our new commissioner on the children, on the rights of the child, has been silent about it. And I think that she lacks the capacity and knowledge to identify the issue. And that's why we need capable people taking up positions and not people who come from specific political backgrounds, without fulfilling basic skills and knowledge of their appointment. I mean, the previous commissioner was a judge for 30 years. This commissioner has no such experience. So I don't think that it even ended up in her office as something to discuss about unaccompanied children.
But can I ask you something? You, as the far right watch, what is your intention? Because you're an initiative, you're not an NGO. Am I right?
No.
Yeah.
We're
What
not
is
an
your,
NGO.
yes, so you're an initiative. What is your intention? Because you have a very active Facebook presence and social media presence, what is your intention? What do you do? Why have you come under this umbrella? Why have you come together under this umbrella as the far right watch Cyprus? Who wants to?
To raise awareness, to change the narrative of the society, which is, as we said before, today's mainstream, the hate speech, the racist rhetoric is mainstream. Even in the level of government, they promote graphics where they connect criminal behavior with specific ethnicities. For example, they're saying, we make it to send back to their countries 2,000 Syrians, 1,000
Afghans.
Somalians, etc. I mean, they are targeting by themselves, as they define as problem, specific ethnicities. So at that point, in this situation, you can realize that the far right is not, as we said in the beginning, is not something marginal. It's the new normal.
So do
So
you use
we
the, so do you use social media, or do you also use other means to try and change the narrative?
We mainly use social media, but we also trying to collaborate with other like-minded groups to demonstrate, to make other initiatives, informative or educational initiatives to raise awareness to the people of Cyprus.
So
What
it's very important that in these times that most of the people are in being informed from social media, that someone is there to tackle fake news. This is the least. For example, the so-called checks that the asylum seekers are getting. This was one of the first things that was tried to be tackled, having the screenshot from the actual ministry with the actual amount, which is I think 110 euros for personal.
Can I add something on this?
Yeah.
During the pre-elections period, when presidential elections period, Mr. Christodoulidis, who is now president of Cyprus, was focusing on how the government will decrease the amount that refugee asylum seekers are taking, money are taking, while
Their status has been examined.
yes, exactly. When he elected, back at that time, I was working in the parliament, and the Minister of Interior came to a committee. And he παραδέχτηκε.
He admitted.
He admitted that they couldn't low they couldn't decrease more the amount of money that refugees are taking because it was in contrast with the human rights and the main the basic needs that they have to cover. So this is a simple example of how they
How he won the election on false claims.
yeah.
Bottom
And
line.
most of this money comes from EU funds. I mean, it's not just from Cypriots. Actually, Cypriots are benefiting from asylum seekers and migration in general, because we are being hired by NGOs or even by governmental authorities to examine their asylum applications. In Burnara, in Kokkinotrimithia, there are more than 300 officers that need to monitor the whole camp. In Gofinu, it's the same thing. We have experts coming from Italy and Malta. So we also get the experience of abroad, I mean, good practices to have better conditions in migration. But this doesn't actually happen because we're not taking advantage of it. The same as we're not taking advantage of the sun and we don't have enough energy. I mean, yeah.
And all of it is lack of information, because when if most people knew that the migrants were getting paid, most of what the migrants were getting paid was not Cypriot money but EU money, the narrative would be far different. Because most Cypriot think that it's coming out of my pocket, I'm paying. But in fact, that's very far from the truth.
It reminds me of the argument of Greek-speaking Cypriots not going to the north because we're giving them money. But when you check how much money the Turkish Cypriot community spends in the south, is a lot more according to the population. I mean, I think it's triple last time I checked. Anyway, but yeah, it's the
Because
same rhetoric.
it is to say, because we're coming towards the end of this conversation, is there anything either of you want to say that you'd like to add to this conversation?
Yes, I'd like to add the aspect that we need a more radical left
In your dreams, it ain't happening, but I agree with you.
in order to balance out these far right policies and this far right rhetoric. You need a more radical left, and I am not speaking for Orestes, but I certainly hope that Orestes will represent this as he will run for elections for an MP, because the goal is not to negotiate with the far right logic, but to dismantle it.
I agree with you. At the far right, you don't have a conversation. You create another conversation. You step on the conversation, you have another conversation. Orestes, she's putting a lot on your shoulders, and I'll add to it, but is there anything? Can I add to what you want to say, and then I'll give the floor to Orestes? I also think we need better education because we also all need to be more critical thinkers. We need to question more. Okay, we can't see something online and just believe that's true. I mean, I had a very serious conversation with one of the MPs that was so adamant that Mr. Gavril was just saying ugly things about the religion and that he could go to jail. And I thought to myself, but he can't go to jail. According to the law, because it's a work of art, he can't be charged by the law. And this was an MP, one of the leading MPs from one of the big parties that was telling, threatening me with that he can go to jail and I mustn't repeat the rhetoric that was online because it was untruth. And I was thinking, what's going on? And I'm a critical thinker. Anyway, the floor is yours, Oresti, and the weight of the decision of how we're going to change this.
Yeah. Well, the far right grows when fear replaces solidarity, and when silence replaces resistance. What we are facing is not only a political problem, but it's a democratic one. The answer is not repression. It is collective action, social justice, and the defense of fundamental freedoms. As we said before, far right affects not only foreigners, but also our ability to express our thoughts, to our freedom. If we normalize all this, if we normalize racism, authoritarianism, and hate, they will define our future. So we have to challenge them openly, critically, and collectively to face them.
There's a lovely expression in Greek that says, Naminta paironmen olamasita. We mustn't take everything as is. We've got to, each and every one of us has actually got to learn to question because not all right wing is necessarily by definition bad. But we've got to learn to be critical thinkers. And we've also got to, I agree with this, learn to be, it's not just about me, it's about us. It's about being collective
Exactly.
and collaborative. So, I think we could have this conversation on a million topics, but I'm glad we focused on migration and energy because I think they're two of the most important topics. But the far right is a challenge, and it's not a Cypriot challenge, it's a global challenge. So I'm calling on everyone to question. Things happen, question them. Don't just because you see a post on Facebook that says a migrant gets 1,000 euros a month, question it. Question it.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, TikTok is taking over, and
I'm an
most
old
of
broad, so I don't know how to use TikTok yet.
the. Yes, and that's how most of the people are getting their information. And I think that that's a thing of concentration. They are used to scroll too fast, so they don't actually have the time to think and have this critical approach that you just described.
I know. It's
So they
very
prefer
scary.
the simple answers. And as we said before, people usually prefer simple answers to complex issues. And this is coming from education as well. So we should focus on this as well.
Or create an app about it and call it
Yes.
direct democracy.
But I have to say that I enjoyed this conversation. I think one of the answers to the right wing is also in the elections, having people going into parliament that are younger. And when I mean younger, I'm not necessarily talking about age. I'm talking about attitude. I think we need new voices. I think we need voices that we haven't heard before, even if they're wrong voices. But I think we need to hear different voices. So, Oreste, I'm going to wish you luck. I
Thank
think
you
you will be
so
a good ad
much.
I think you'll be a good addition to the parliament. There are a few other names that I could add, but this is I think we need a lot of lovely young names that could be in the parliament, and hopefully some of them will get in, and hopefully with that we will start trying to change the narrative, but it does also rest with each of us.
Thank you so much, you and Chris as well, for your
Best
words.
of luck, Orestes. I don't vote in Nicosia, but
I'm a
you know.
Nicosian. I'm voting Nicosia. Anyway, as I said, and we need new voices in Parliament. We need new young voices, critical voices, even if we consider them silly voices. We need the narrative to change. We need the tone to change. I'm sick of all these old voices and the, I don't know, it's too structured. Anyway, so good luck to your rest and to all the other young people coming, standing for Parliament, and because we need to have hope for the future. Okay,
Thank you,
thank you.
Magda, for having us.
I thank you
Thank
both.
you.
And to the listeners, as we said, critical thinking and vote with consciousness. Don't just vote for the party. Okay, thank you. And all of us, stay safe.
Thank you.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks, open, diverse, free.